All right, thank you. So this is Youth Speak Out. So what we do is every month, I have the young adults actually preach to me, because I always preach to them, and I want to hear what's in their hearts. And I'm impressed. Every month, I'm impressed by them, because they actually minister to me and minister to one another. Even last week, we had, you know, it looks like a small group in there, but we're actually in there just ministering to each other. There's actually crying that happens and just repenting. And it's just a beautiful, it's just a beautiful situation being in that room. And I'm actually very humbled and honored to be in that position where I can speak into these kids' lives. So today, I am so proud of my kids. I adopt them, so they are my kids. So I'm very proud of my kids. They are going to be speaking to you today. And if you guys could just encourage them and cheer them on, because it takes a lot out of them to come up here and speak. So the first one will be Anu. Come on up here.
Good evening, everybody. The Bible verses that Akka gave me to do are from the book of Psalms, chapter 103, verses 16 to 18. The book of Psalms, 103, 16 to 18. The wind blows over it, and it is gone, and its place remains it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who kept his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. So, I would ask you all to, close your eyes for a moment. And imagine that you're at a beach, and that it's just you, and you're surrounded by palm trees. There's a breeze of wind that blows over, and the trees move back and forth. Now, imagine a completely different situation. There's a small plant or a tree, and the wind blows over it, and it falls over. Now you can open your eyes. These are two completely different situations, but both have one common factor, wind. In our day-to-day lives, the word wind in this context can mean so many various different things. I think the psalmist here portrays wind as love and promises of God. We as human beings rely on things that others say about us and how they perceive us, but what we often forget is that these are usually temporary. A situation can arise where those who were with us yesterday can turn their backs on us today. The only person that we can truly rely on to be there through the thick and thin, to love us despite knowing all our shortcomings and faults, is God. God's promises, however, are eternal. Similar to this palm tree in the example earlier, no matter how much the wind tries to push it down, it will always have the potential to stand tall. Similarly, no matter what we are going through, trusting and having faith in God will help us achieve our dreams through his love. This can be seen in the life of Joseph. God placed a promise over his life. Everyone, including his brothers and father, made fun of him, but Joseph placed his faith in God. He did everything righteous in the eyes of God, and because of this, God was able to bless Joseph by fulfilling his dream. When we obey his words and heed his commandments, God's love is everlasting to everlasting. God's love does not alter with our alterings or change with our changes. There never was a time when he did not love you. His mercy is from everlasting to everlasting, nor a time when he will love you any less. The promise of everlasting love and mercy for his children are given with conditions. The promises are made to those who fear him, to those who keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandments. Thank you.
So the Bible verse that Akka gave me was Matthew 26, 26 to 28. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out of many of the forgiveness of sins." So let's take a second to look at the background context of where the scripture is coming from. So in this time when the scriptures came from, Jesus and his disciples gather together and are having a Passover meal. It is during this meal that Jesus foreshadows his death on the cross and tells like his disciples that one of you will betray me. So the first thing that we need to note is that the supper symbolically portrays Jesus' death on the cross. He says bread, and he says that this is his body. It represents like his body and like what he's dying for our sins. And he also says a cup, and that refers to his blood that, you know, on the cross where he's all his blood is getting drained out of him while he dies for our sins. These two elements for like signify Jesus' death on the cross. He also later on in verse 28 talks about the covenant. So in the Old Testament, the old covenant was that when you wanted to like ask for forgiveness from God, you had to like break lamb and kill the lamb and like give it to the priest and offer it up for a sacrifice. But in this new covenant, Jesus describes it as like you have to go through only Christ. Like only through him will you get the forgiveness of your sins and that you will have eternal life. So in the difference between the old and new covenant is that we don't have an intermediator anymore, that we can go directly to God. We don't need to go to a priest. We don't need to go to a bishop or anyone like that. So we can just like ask for forgiveness and he will forgive us. That is like the main like context of this verse, and it's very significant in the New Testament.
Praise the Lord. The verse Akka gave me was from Isaiah 54, 6 to 8 and 10. Isaiah 64, verse 6, 8 to 10. I'm sorry, 6 to 8 and 10. The Lord will call you back as if you were a wife deserted and distressed in spirit, a wife who married young only to be rejected, says your God. For a brief moment I abandoned you, but with deep compassion I will bring you back. In a surge of anger, I hid my face from you for a moment. Though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord who has compassion on you. Okay. So verse 6 here talks about faith and how God is always going to be with you. He's always going to have your back, and you don't have to worry about anything that comes your way. Faith is something that is very important in my life, and it's very important in all of our lives. Faith is also the one thing that has kept me through problems that I have faced and problems that me and my family have faced together, especially during visa problems. I remember Dad coming home so stressed. The air, the atmosphere was so heavy, I wouldn't even be able to stand in that one room. I have to go to my room and sit there. But even during those times, faith in God and his power was the only thing that kept us from falling too deep into the clutches of fear and doubt and worry. Another example would be of David in the Bible. David, the fight between David and Goliath is one story that we've all grown up hearing about. But if you think that David was able to kill Goliath through his stone or through that sling he used to throw that stone, you are wrong, because the only way David could have defeated Goliath was through the faith that he had in God and the faith that he had in God's power. That is the kind of faith that we need to have in our lives, and that is the kind of faith that will always support us and strengthen us to go against our enemies and be like, you can't do anything to me because I have someone who is far greater and far more powerful than you behind me, and he's going to do all the work for me. And verse 10 talks about God's unfailing love and his protection. And I always think that love and protection go hand in hand, because when you love someone, you want to make sure they're safe, and you'll do anything to make that they're safe. So everyone has seen the movie The Lion King, right? And in that one movie, there's one scene where Simba, the main character, when he was a little cub, he ventures into the elephant graveyard, where he's not supposed to go into. And when he's in there, he comes across the three hyenas in that movie. And they're like, you know, taunting him, they're teasing him about his weak spot, which is his roar. So Simba gets very angry, and he's like, you know, doing his little roar the first time. But it's all very cute, adorable sound. It's not going to make the hyenas, like, scared or anything. Again, the hyenas keep taunting him, being like, you're so small, you can't do anything to us. Again, Simba gets angry, and he tries to do his little roar again. It again comes out as a little adorable sound. But the third time this happens, Simba only has to open his mouth, and this defining roar just echoes through the valley. The hyenas, they stop laughing, and they look behind Simba, and they see Mufasa standing behind there. That is how our God is like. You know, during tough times, when the enemy comes around teasing us and taunting us, we do get angry, right? But we can't do anything. But when you call on to God, and the enemy see God behind you, and they see someone who's far greater than us and far greater and more powerful than our enemies could be, like, they're just going to do an about turn, and they're going to run the other way. That is God's love for us. And even though in the movie, Simba, you know, breaks rules, he doesn't do what his father says, he always wants to be on his own, he's rebellious, Mufasa is always there taking him out of those situations. And that is how God loves us. We do stuff that God doesn't approve of. We always go around breaking rules, but God still comes behind us, and he's always there to pull us out of those situations. And I hope that you go home today and do meditate on these three verses, and I hope that they have the same impact in your life that they have on mine. Thank you.
Couldn't be more prouder of my kids. They're so awesome. See what an impact that our generation is making on the next generation. It's an amazing thing. It's so powerful. I'm in awe how God is using that. So how much time do I have, Pastor Nimesh? Okay. All right. So I'm going to talk about Ruth. I am not going to do the traditional way of going step by step, giving points. I'm actually going to take it as a story. So at the end, I will put it all together. So just follow along with the story. And, you know, if you're thinking about Ruth, I know it's very famous. You've been preached to about Ruth many, many a times. And just try to take all that away and just take it as in, hey, I don't know what's going to happen next. Okay, so we're going to take it slowly, and we're going to see how God applies this into our lives. So let's just pray really quick. Dear Father, we just thank you, God. God, I thank you that you're making an impact in the next generation, Father God. I thank you. You are a covenant-keeping God, and you are an awesome God, Father. You are a God who takes us from all of our shame and all of the things, and you wipe us clean, and you make us brand new, oh, Father. God, we thank you, Lord God. We give you the glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I love the story of Ruth because it talks about how God reached outside of Israel, outside of the clean and pure people, to bring someone unclean into the covenant. That is the awesome thing about Ruth's story. So let's just start from the beginning. So Naomi is a Hebrew woman. Everybody knows this. Just go, oh, wow, this is something new. I've never heard of this. Okay, so it's Naomi is a Hebrew woman, and she's married to a Hebrew man, and they are husband and wife, and they have a famine in the land. So it's just about the time of the judges, I think. And so they are in Israel, and they decide to go move to Moab. So when the Bible talks about somebody saying, you know, they're moving from one land to another, this is not like how we get on the metro and we go, okay, we're down in D.C., okay, we're in Virginia. No, this is something life-transforming. When people are moving from one place to another, it's something I was in, okay, it's a huge impact. It's going to be an impact for generations. So they are not just crossing the county line, but they are moving from the land of the presence of God into a place called Moab. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about Moab. So these people had a couple of gods. One of their main gods that every Moabite used to worship was called Chemosh. It's actually a demon called Chemosh. And so the way they offered, the way they would worship Chemosh is by throwing babies into and cutting them in half and offering it up. This is how they were pleasing God. This is what they did day in and day out. Every Moabite used to do this. And so they would do that. Or sometimes if they want to get extra credit with their God, they would take an adult person and they would go and sacrifice them. That is that type of God that they served. So this is the background of Moabites. And they also worshipped a god called, a demon called Molech. Okay, so this one is even worse. They take the children, they take infants, and they would throw them in the fire. And that's how they worship their god. They would drink kids' blood, and it is gruesome, gruesome stuff. And I'm not making this up. It is in the Word of God, so I'm just bringing you what the Word says. So all this was how Moab is. So this Hebrew couple goes into this land, and they go in into a place where it's sacrifices and debts, and they're going there, and they're raising up their, they get married, and of course they have these two kids. They have two sons, and they are bringing them up, and they figured out the famine is still not over. So, okay, let's just get our kids married. So they marry, the kids marry two Moabite women. So this is what happens so far. So whenever I say Moabite, and whenever I'm talking about these women, I want you to not think, oh, they're beautiful women with blonde hair like the movies show or like, you know, Hebrew movies show. No, think about the sacrifices that these people have in their background, as in the infant sacrifices, drinking of blood. I want you to see what their background is. They were very unclean people. So that's what we're going to see them as. All right, so going forward, Naomi's husband dies and the sons dies. And so these women are standing there with no hope, basically with no income. They are facing starvation because the men brought the bread home. The women couldn't go do a little bit of IT work and make the money and bring it in. They had to work. I mean, the men had to work. The women had to live off of the men. So there was no relief there in that land. But Naomi actually ends up hearing there's a relief in Israel again. So then she hears, hey, you know what? Let me go back to my God. So let me go back to my people. She was with God, but she was going to go back to her people. So then she tells these two women and says, hey, you know what? Go back to your God and your people. Remember, their gods, the sacrifices, okay? So they're telling them, she's telling them, go back to them. But what I'm going to talk to you about now is the most, I think, one of the most powerful moments in the Bible. It just sounds very simple when I read it to you, but it'll all make sense at the end, I promise. So if you're following on along with me, we're in Ruth chapter 1, verse 14. So Naomi says, go, and this is how these women reacted. Verse 14, as we read, as this, they wept aloud again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye. But Ruth clung to her. So both Moabite women. So if you actually, there's some parts of some resources that actually say that they were sisters. And that they were actually in a very rich line. And so Orpah decides to go, let me make a big show of affection and say, oh God, you know, I'm going to leave you. And she kisses her and she walks away. She just abandons and walks away. Whereas Ruth just didn't show any affection, but she just clung on. She just held on. Is everybody following with me so far? Okay. So so Naomi says, look. Okay, so if you look in the word in Hebrew, the word look is actually like, hey, mutale. She's literally yelling, saying, hey, dum-dum, listen to me. So it's a very strong word. It's not like, you know, something light. But she's saying, your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her. So remember again, her gods are the ones that sacrifice babies and were throwing their wives in the fire and drinking blood. I can give you several references if you want to check up on it. It's in 2 Kings 3:27, Numbers 21:29. It is there in the Bible about how these people practice their sacrifices. So I'm going on to verse 16. But Ruth replied, don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. And she says, where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever severely, if even death separates you and me. Isn't that a strong commitment that you're hearing in that? It is a strong commitment. It's the same commitment that you probably said to your spouse in your vows. It's as strong. But this is not a romantic love. It's actually a promise, a covenant that is being said between a mother-in-law and a daughter-in-law. See, I believe that Ruth, when she was living with this family, this Hebrew family in Moab, that she saw that she saw the ways of the living God. Sometimes, as she was saying, our spouses, our unsaved people, they see God in what we do. It's there. It speaks louder than can be spoken. And I'm believing for you so that, you know, your husband's going to come out here one day and give a testimony. And we're believing for that. And that's how it is. Like, so these people were, this woman had seen Naomi see that. And she's taken by the ways of God. She's kind of like, wow, wait a second. Maybe there is a God who's powerful. Have you ever heard people say that? A lot of my Hindu friends actually come up to me and say, you know, your God is actually cool. He answers your prayers because he's a living God, you know? And so I'm not going to clean up Ruth just yet. So keep thinking about Ruth as the Moabite. She was the one who saw babies being thrown in the fire. She was the one who saw these sacrifices. It's a common day, common thing for these sacrifices. It's in the Bible, it says abomination of the Moab. So that is what it's called. So all this is happening, but she lives with the Hebrew family and sees and has a glimpse of the ways of God. And she's saying, I'll take on your God. And I'll be with you. I'm making a covenant. So she's actually, what's happening is she's showing the nature of God in her covenant keeping. That is how our God is. He likes to keep covenant. He loves covenants. So when Ruth held on to Naomi, she created a landing zone for the blessing of God. I hear Pastor Nimesh tells me sometimes, I'm like, hey, what did you preach on? And he said, you guys were hearing about blessings and keeping the commandments, some of the stuff that he shared with me. So I hope to bring all that under this and tuck it in here. So what I mean by landing zone is, have you ever seen those? I like to watch a lot of history. I love history. I'm a total nerd when it comes to history. I'm always reading things. And there was one documentary about how, like, there was this huge piece of land where they have, like, this big X on it. And then this helicopter finds some way in the war zone to come and stop and takes these people up and provides what they need and then takes them up and takes them to security. So I want you to take it when I say landing zone. I want you to see that as a big X saying, landed here. Okay, so when we make a covenant with God and she abides with God and she says, God, I'm keeping this covenant, she's creating a landing zone for the blessings of God. Are you following me so far? Okay, awesome. So when she made the covenant, the space between her and Naomi was a landing zone. Because our God is covenant-keeping God, he honors covenants, and he looks for people. See, I believe that God reached out outside of Israel, and he saw a woman who was like, who was willing to fulfill her covenant, who had it, like, in a foreign land, she saw the ways of Jehovah, and she sees her sister-in-law kissing and saying goodbye, but nothing else matters but this covenant. And God was moved. His heart gets moved when he sees people who keep the covenant. And so she is standing there with nothing, no man, no money, no land, in an unfamiliar country. That's where she's journeying to. And you have to also see, she's standing with Naomi and saying, I'm going to stand by you. So I would like to be more realistic about Naomi. She wasn't Joel Osteen at all. She wasn't. I mean, if you actually read the Bible, it talks about how Naomi is devastated. And, you know, she's walking into this land, and then these women are crying out, going, hey, Naomi, how are you? Like, நம்ம இந்தியாக்கு போகும்போது நம்ம ஆளுங்களாம் வந்து பேசுவாங்களே, ஹே, எப்படி இருக்கே, நல்லா இருக்கியா? Instead of saying, நல்லா இருக்கு, அதுக்கு பதில் you're saying, I'm bitter and I'm angry. That is the response that she had. She said, I'm bitter and I'm angry. And she, in fact, if you're following along, it's verse 20. She says, don't call me Naomi. She told them, call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me. So Naomi is bitter. She is empty. She's got emptiness. She's got bitterness, maybe even some arthritis. She is very bitter. She is an old woman who's just so upset, and she has no joy. I mean, if you think about it, she's gone through a lot. She's bitter. So she's repeating herself, saying, I'm bitter. I'm angry. I'm bitter. If you've ever been around people who are bitter and angry, you can never find anybody else who is more repetitive than them. They will just say, I'm bitter. I'm angry. But remember that this is the type of woman that this, if you think about it, this ex-demon-worshipping Moabite is holding on to. Okay, I'm emphasizing on the demon-worshipping because I want you to know that is her background. So, so things change when in the power of holding on to covenant. When we hold on to God's covenant, things change. So the covenant, so the when she's saying, when she's saying, you know, may it be that God deals with me severely, that is a strong covenant. Because that holding on that God, that Ruth did, it became the magnet for the blessing of God. That's the point that I want you to hear here. So, all right, continuing on Ruth. So Ruth walks out the covenant. She fulfills her commitments. She goes back to Bethlehem with Naomi, and she works, and she provides for Naomi, and she meets this head guy. His name is Boaz, and he's like totally impressed by her, and she works for him, and God starts pouring out the stuff that they need in their little landing zone because Ruth clung on to the covenant, clung on instead of kissing and walking away. Are you seeing the little theme going along her side here? So, because of all this, Boaz speaks to her, and I think in a way it's like almost a supernatural insight that he has when he's talking to her, because he's giving her exceptional amount of grain, and he's blessing her, and she's bowing down before him, and she's asking him, hey, why have I found such favor in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner? And Boaz replied, I have been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with a people you did not know before. And listen to this. In verse 12 of chapter 2, he's saying, may the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Almighty, God of Israel. So when the head tribe guy is saying that to you, it's a big moment. It's a turnaround. Something big is happening. So he's saying, but then he says, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. See, I thought she was dealing with what, the covenant with Naomi, or she's working for Boaz. But Boaz is saying, in the wings of God is beating over you, and he's going to bless you because you have reflected his covenant-keeping heart. So I want you to get that in your heart, saying God will cover you when you're keeping his covenant. So I'm going to speed it up a little bit. All right, so Boaz does this thing with the sandal and all that happens. And so he takes Ruth as his wife. So the blessing comes because Ruth created a landing zone, because she held on instead of kissing and making a big display and an abandoning, but instead she clung on to the covenant. So the former demon-worshipping Moabite is okay, who used to be okay with infant sacrifices, came into the covenant of Israel because Israel and marries a tribal head and has a son. So they were starving. This is how God works. So they were starving yesterday, right? They were starving. They had no land, no money. They had this grandma who was bitter all the time. But today she's married and she has a son. That is how God turns situations around. That is how awesome our God is. Even the testimonies you heard today was about citizenship. How long, sitting there and waiting and thinking, oh, this visa is not going to happen, or that visa is not going to happen. God turns things around. He is still able. He's an amazing God. As long as we are holding on to his covenant, we are opening up a door for blessings. So I'm going to continue saying, so that these women were saying, Praise be to the Lord who has this day has not left you without a guardian redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. So, and then it talks about how Naomi took the child and cared for him. So Naomi walked into this group of women and said, "I'm Mara. I'm so bitter. I'm so bitter." But at the same time, God took that bitterness and look what happened. She's becoming the one who they're praising and saying, "Hey, look, listen, God has restored your life. If you're going through a devastating time in your life, do not be afraid because God can turn that around in a heartbeat." That is how powerful God is. So verse 17, it says, "The women living there said, 'Naomi has a son.' And they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David." So Ruth's life changed generations and changed because she clinged instead of kissing and walking away like the other woman did. So you can do all the external stuff, but the clinging on with your heart to God is the most important thing. Sometimes we are so busy with trying to make it into church, sometimes, you know, and try to put a happy face, but in the car we would have been yelling at the kids, "Hurry up, be quiet," and we're doing all of this stuff, and we come in and put a smile on our face, but where is your heart at? Because that is what God is looking at. Where is your heart at? Because that is the clinging on that God is looking at. So if a former demon-worshipping Ruth can come in and get cleansed and get blessed and restore an entire family and a nation, a power of clinging on or not walking away is what I want you to see, is that God can do the same for you. So remember also, and I just want to talk about generation. You saw how my youth came in here and they were preaching and they had this passion in their heart when they're talking. And I want to just share how one person made a whole impact in generations to generation. I want this church, I want the adults to make an impact in generations to generation. So how do we do that? How do we make a whole thing? But before I go in there, I'm going to just go back a little bit, step back 1 second. So Ruth had a son named who? Obed. Everybody knows, right? All right, Obed, okay. So you're like, "Oh, that's another name that I have to remember." If you've ever read Chronicles, you would never like names again. I mean, it's just 7 chapters of people's names, and you're just going, "Dear God, why do I need to know all these people's names?" But you know what? Let's think about this. So son of Obed, but wait, he was the what? Father of Jesse. And he was the father of David. So let's get this straight. A ex-little demon-worshipping woman has gotten into the covenant because, and not only that, she is the great-grandma of a king in 3 generations. How awesome is that? See, that's what she was. She wasn't just dealing with Boaz or Naomi. She was dealing with the ultimate redeemer, the one who is the redeemer of Israel, who can take an ex-demon worshiper and become the grandma of the king. I think that is just awesome. That is how God works. Her clinging on not only impacted her little bubble of her life, her little circle of just her generation, but it made an impact on generations to come. The things that you do in this life, the decisions, the clinging on that you do for God is what's going to make an impact in the generations to come, your children and their children to come. How many believe that here? So that's not the only thing that I want to come here. There's a little bit more that I want to tell you. So if she's a grandma of David, I'm not even going to say puti, puta, but she's a great, great whatever to the what? Messiah, Jesus Christ. So she is in the lineage of Jesus. God just took a hand grenade and threw it in the family line. If you think about it, I mean, there's noble kings and noble men, and then you got this ex-demon worshiping woman in the midst of all of this. So what does that tell us? So what is God trying to say about that? I think what God's trying to say is that you are Christian. has to recognize that if God put the unclean from a foreign land into this lineage, he must be serious about reaching out to the nations, about reaching out to the communities, about telling other people about God. So doing things, when you're walking through your roughest time, going to people and saying, hey, you know what? God still lives. I will still worship God. God is serious. This is one of his covenants, sharing the word of God, not keeping it all into ourselves and being soaked like a sponge, but squeezing what God has given us so we can get new, refreshing oil on us as we're squeezing it out on other people. God wants us to be poured into and poured out. So it's about reaching other nations. So he used a Moabite because she clinged and didn't kiss and walk away to change history. What do you mean by change history? This is the last point. I think you might be very interested in this because I was totally shocked. Okay, so how is she not just changing generations? She's changing history. I want you to listen to this. Even though we don't hear about Orpah again in the Bible, there are literatures outside the Bible that the rabbis preserve. As I said, I'm totally into history. I love reading stuff. I'm always online. My husband thinks I'm insane at night because I will sit there at night and just read and read and read. And one of the resources that I found was very interesting is that we do know a little bit about Orpah. It's actually written in some of the rabbis' documents that they preserved. So what happened with her is that she went back to her gods and back to her people. She got married, and she had numbers of sons, a lot of sons. But guess what? Many, many rabbinic sources actually say that one of her famous sons is Goliath. I mean, that's amazing. So Orpah kissed and walked away and became the mother of what? Goliath. Whereas Ruth clung to the covenant, and she became the grandmother, great-grandmother of David. So when we cling to the covenant and the commitments that God has given us, and it creates a landing zone for the grace of God, and not just for our generation, but for the many generations that are to come. Are you seeing what God is trying to say here? We have to hold on to God. Brother, if you could play something very quiet, slowly. So we have to hold on to God. We have to hold on to his covenant. And it is, as you can see, it's very important. So I'm just going to talk to you. If you could bow your heads and close your eyes for a moment, I want you to start going through your heart and your situation right now. I want you to examine your heart. I want the Holy Spirit to just be released in this house tonight so that we know that he pricks our conscience to say, hey, you know what? This is something that we need to work on. If I've been speaking and God's been tugging at your heart, you will know. And God is trying to speak to you today. So, you know, before I go in depth in that, just a quick story all I wanted to share is that, so my husband and I are very opposites, very, very different. So he is a morning person. I am a very much a night person. I will stay up all night. He likes to get up at 4 a.m. I don't understand that. So we are very different. So in order for me to meet him, I try to set 3 alarms, which drives him crazy. I will set it up at 5:30, at 6 o'clock, and 6:30, so that I will wake up somehow. And at 5:30, I will press snooze. And then again, I'll keep turning it off. And then my third alarm comes, he finally goes, can you please get up? I mean, you're going to miss the whole alarm. The whole point was for you to wake up. Wake up, because the time is coming for you to wake up. Maybe this is God saying it is your time to wake up. Maybe this is your third alarm clock and God is saying, wake up. I am trying to talk to you today. I am trying to get your attention because I am tired of you carrying the bitterness and the anger and the shame of your background, because what you came from is no more, because I will cover you, says God. He can cover your past. He can cover your shame. He's a God who has turned a demon-worshipping girl into a woman who's in the lineage of Jesus Christ. He can do the same for you. So, and there, if you know that when some of you have probably made a big scene or made a big thing and not really hugged, and you've done the kissing, but you haven't clung on to God. Maybe it's God telling you to cling on to him today. What if God is saying, cling on to me today? And maybe some of you haven't done kept the covenant of God and had fulfilled what he's called you to, about reaching that person that's unsaved who you are working with, or who God's been saying, hey, go talk to them about God. Go talk to them about God, but you haven't been doing that. Maybe it's you that God is trying to wake up and say, hey, come and preach my word so that they could hear the good news. Maybe you have given up on God like Naomi. Maybe you are bitter from the situations that you have been dealing with. Maybe you are so numb that you're saying, I don't care anymore. I will just put up with this, or I am bitter. Maybe you're one of those people who are saying, I am just bitter. In my difficult times, I am bitter. But you know what? God is saying he will turn that upside down if you would recommit your life into his hand today. He is our Redeemer. He is waiting to redeem you. And maybe you're worried about your children. You have kids who you're saying, they don't know about Jesus. I don't know what to do about them. But commit your life back into where God called you to be. Get back to the place that you were meant to be with Jesus, so that generations and generations can be impacted, that the covenant of God can be carried into your life. So if it's one of you that you feel like it is you that I'm talking to, and you don't have to raise your hands or anything, but come forward so that we can pray for you. You know, we have all these places here, and just come forward. I'm just going to ask that you would come forward and let us pray for you. Pastor Nimesh and I are here to pray for those people who this message would have touched. But God, we just thank you, Father God. We thank you, Father God. We thank you, Lord God. God, I pray that we would touch the next generation. God, that you would help us to recommit our lives into your hands, oh Father God. God, we give you the glory, Father God. Just keep coming. If you're feeling like it has tugged at your heart, that God is saying you are not where you were supposed to be, come to the front. If there's somebody with bitterness, if there's somebody who's been angry at situations that they're walking through, God says, come and lay that off. Just come over to the front. Let us pray for you today. Anyone with bitterness who's dealing with difficult situations,
I have decided.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided.
Hallelujah.
To follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus.
No turning back.
No turning back.
No turning back. Cross before you.
The wall behind me, the cross before me.
Thank you, Jesus.
The wall behind me, the cross before me. No turning back.
No turning back.
No turning back. No turning back.
Can you sing it from my heart? I have decided. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. I have decided to follow you, Jesus.
I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. No turning back. No turning back.
The world behind me.
The world behind me. The cross before.
everything is behind me, Lord. Your cross is in front of me, Lord.
The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. No turning back, no turning back.
Though none go with me. I will follow you, Lord, till then.
Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. No turning back, no turning back.
One more time, last time, I have decided.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. No turning back.
கண்களை மூடிய வண்ணமாகவே கேட்ட வார்த்தையின்படி கேட்போம். ஆவியானவரே, ஆவியானவரே, உம்முடைய சித்தம், உம்முடைய உடன்படிக்கை என்னுடைய வாழ்க்கையில் நிறைவேறட்டும். ஆண்டவரே, உம்முடைய வாக்கு தத்தங்கள் என்னுடைய வாழ்க்கையில் நிறைவேறட்டும். ஆண்டவரே, ரூத்தை ஆசீர்வதித்த தேவனே, இன்று என்னையும் ஆசீர்வதியும், என் குடும்பத்தையும் ஆசீர்வதியும். ஆண்டவரே, இழந்ததை மறுபடியும் பெற்றுக்கொள்ள ஆவியானவரே நீர் கிருபை செய்ய வேண்டும் என்று நான் கேட்கிறேன். ஆண்டவரே, நோ டேர்னிங் பேக், நோ டேர்னிங் பேக் லார்ட். ஐ ஹாவ் டிசைடட் டு ஃபாலோ யூ வித் மை ஹார்ட், வித் மை சோல், வித் எவ்ரி திங் ஐ ஹாவ். ஆண்டவரே, எனக்கு எல்லாவற்றையும் ஆண்டவரே உம்மையே பின்பற்ற ஆண்டவரே இன்றைக்கு நான் என்னை ஒப்புக் கொடுக்கிறேன். Lord, today I commit my life to follow you and you alone, Lord. Thank you for talking with us. Thank you for talking with us, Lord. As you blessed Ruth, as you blessed Naomi, today, Lord, bless this church. Bless each one of them who is here. Bless them abundantly, Lord. Let your grace and let your mercy be with them. Great is your mercy, Lord. Your mercy is abounding in our lives. God, thank you for that. Thank you for that. We give you the glory, Lord. Thank you for talking with us. Thank you for talking with us. Thank you for changing us. Thank you for leading us. God, we give the rest of the service into your hands. You talk with us. In Jesus' wonderful name, we pray. And everybody say, Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.